Daniel 6. Daniel chapter 6. I thought I'd have everybody here. I thought it'd be good to give a rousing cheer to the staff. But I guess we'll have to do that if everybody comes together. I don't know. Especially the kitchen staff, right? Eating good. It's been some pretty good food. I've been at several camps, and I think this is pretty close to being the top one as far as food is concerned. And, you know, there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes that you will never know. A lot of things, and I've been able to work in camps and conferences and lots of late nights. You can see some of these counselors struggling just to stay upright, but they have served faithfully and hard. And again, as I said last night, make sure you show your appreciation to them before you leave. Tell them thank you, even those that you didn't really get to talk to much. They put some time and effort into this week for you. I want to say thank you to you as a group. For the most part, you've listened great. You really have. And I know it gets harder and harder as time goes on, and you're just like, oh. But I'm impressed with your energy. I thought, oh, this morning they'll just be out there kind of standing watching the juniors, and you've kind of hung in there. And so it's just been a good time. I haven't even told very many jokes this week. Usually I bring a whole bunch of jokes, but my son lost them. So I've just been having to give you the Word of God, which is more important anyways. So I just really want to wrap it up. I don't want to scream and yell. I started losing my voice last night, and I got to preach three times on Sunday. Do I need to raise it back up? All right, I keep squealing. I feel like... All right, is that better? Are we good? All right. But I'm just going to try to wrap it up, because what's going to happen is when you pull out of here today, someone's waiting for you. That's not your friend. He's waiting. And in Genesis, when Cain had an opportunity to repent, God said, sin lieth at the door. Not in the windows, not in the closets, waiting right at the door for you to greet you. Some of you are going to go back, and there's going to be some tough situations hit you as soon as you go home. Some of you are going to go back, and all this structure of the week is gone. You've made decisions to read your devotions, but maybe your mom or dad's not going to push you to do it. You're not going to have a time set aside in your schedule like camp to have quiet time. You've been hit with the Word of God somewhere, probably, I think I've 13 times with devotions, with chapels, 13 times in just a short time. And you know what's happened is the Word of God has done its work. It's a hammer. But now you're not going to have that. When you want to sleep in tomorrow, which most of you probably will, and that's okay, please get up and take that quiet time that you said you were going to do this week. So I'm not going to scream and yell. I want to just wrap it all up and say, this is how you're going to keep the decisions that you've made this week. How are we going to do it? It's up to you. With God's help, you can. But you've got to determine, and you've got to really want to prosper. Do you want to prosper? Remember, I started out on Monday night and said, this could be the last week of your life. And it's over. It's over. And I've watched as some of you have made some commitments. And you know what? It's exciting to see a smile on your face when you come out and say, man, that was exactly what I needed. You're going away to school. Very little supervision, if any. You're on your own. And if you don't have any safeguards and no guardrails, you're going to go off the edge. Guardrails are for you. And you've got to build them, set them up in your life. At 12, at 13, maybe at 18 if you get a later start. Parents have set the guardrails, but now you're free! How are you going to have success? How are you going to leave camp and still prosper? When, before James Garfield was president, he was a principal at a school in Ohio. And a father came to him and asked him if the course of study that his son was going to be involved in could be simplified so his son could have a little easier route. And the Garfield said, certainly. But he said this, it all depends on what you want to make of your boy. When God wants to make an oak tree, He takes 100 years. When He wants to make a squash, He requires only 2 months. He said, what do you want? An oak tree that's going to stand upright, as our verse says, or a squash that won't last very long? I want to see some oak trees spiritually in some of you young ladies that say, as we said last night, we're going to stand upright. Too many squashes today. Too many guys that start out with a bang and then they quit. Determined, with God's help, you'll prosper. Daniel chapter 6, one verse. Verse number 28. Would you read it with me? Together. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Again. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Let me remind you, these two men were not Christians. When God's people were captured and brought into the land, there were somewhere around 10,000. We know of four. Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We know four out of 10,000. That's not a real high percentage, is it? They got away from mama. They got away from the rules. Why is it that Daniel prospered? Why is it that we know the names Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah? Why did they prosper? I think it's really simple. But Daniel prospered under two heathen kings. He stood upright. And I'm hoping to give you the recipe or the secret, which I don't think is a secret, to help you when you go back and maybe a bad situation, you can say, or we can say, they prospered for God. That's what we're going to look at briefly this morning. God, help us today. I thank you for these young people. They've been just a tremendous blessing to me. I've loved to see their, from the time that we started, some slowly grabbed a hold of the excitement and for the most part, 100% have jumped in. And we find that we don't need the cares of this world to make us happy. But just being around God's Word and making good decisions and to be softened up to the speaking of the Holy Spirit, there can be that joy. Would you help us today, as we just wrap these things up, to just determine and make some challenges personally that they can go and stand in this day of adversity. Please help me that I'd be clear. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Lots of athletes today, aren't there? I mean, you start all the way from the bottom level, and there's little league clubs, and there's football. I don't know what they call them out here, but in our area, it's Pop Warner football. And as you progress, there's just lots of kids that start out, aren't there? Lots of them. I mean, there's sports for everything now. And then you get up into the little leagues, and then you get up into the high school level, then you get up to the college level, then you get up into the minor leagues, then you get up into the professionals, and you know, things start getting weeded out as you progress. I remember as a kid, going in my yard, and I never played basketball until college level. Of course, I told you about how bad I was there. But I remember putting myself in the scenario of being in the NBA Finals. I had the ball with 5 seconds left, down by one. And the ball was in my hands, all by myself on the court. My imagination started to run wild. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He leans back. He fires it up. It hits the rim. It rolls around and out. But because I missed, I got fouled. Oh yeah? He hacked me on the arm. They call. Now I have 2 shots to win the NBA championship. Of course, I step up to the line. I stand there. Nothing but net. The crowd is on their feet. 1 shot to go. This shot could take you to the national championship, to the top of the NBA finals. And Eric Ramos was on the line to seal the deal. He steps calmly, twirls the ball in his hands, fires it up with sweet rotation. Nothing but net. NBA championship final MVP, Eric Ramos. I got a pretty messed up imagination. But I remember doing all those things, putting myself there. Needless to say, I've never been there. Actually, I don't even think I've stepped on a court of an NBA team. We have a lot of imaginations of success. You know, even in the NBA, there's lots of guys that in high school, they were the men. They get to college and they may play a little bit, but they never even make it to the NBA. And you can look at all the different levels of people where they start. Maybe in Little League they were the man. But they never see high school game, high school action, because there's different levels, aren't there? All the way up. Then you got the Hall of Fames, where just a handful make it there. The point is this. There's a lot of Christians that start out, but there's so many different levels. Some get to the point where, oh, Brother Ramos, it's just too hard. And they quit. This might be the highest level that you're going to make it. And you walk away and you never really succeed. So this Daniel prospered. Even in the Olympics, isn't it impressive when those guys stand at the platform and we hear the Star-Spangled Banner and the tears flow down their face? Why? Because they've represented their country. They are the best in the entire world. But what we fail to see is what it takes to get there. The average Olympian trains 4 hours a day, at least 310 days a year, for 6 years before succeeding. By 7 a.m, most athletes have done more than any people do the entire day. By 7 a.m. They will compete in the Olympics, and for 4 years they will train to get 1/100th or 2/100th of a second better. Lifting, running, sprinting, all these things to gain just 1/100th or 2/100th of a second. Why? Because they want to be better. And the theme of the Olympics is Citius, Altius, Fortius, which means swifter, higher, stronger. They're better than anybody else. They prosper. And even those that might get last in the 100 meter dash, we look and say, wow, they're great athletes. But they're not there for that. What are they there for? To take home the gold for their country, aren't they? They're not satisfied with that. They'll go back and say, I've got to do more. I've got to train 5 hours or 6 hours. And some guys will stay in the pool hour after hour, swim miles. And they're just doing sprints. The point is, the only way you're going to become better as a Christian is to keep at it. And to keep at it. Some of you are good on the piano. Why? Because you work at it. Some of you are good at texting. Why? I mean, I watch some people. I mean, they can carry on a conversation with them and carry on a conversation with somebody else, not even looking at the phone. You know why? Because you're good at it. Some of you guys know computers inside and out. You know why? Because you do it all the time. And there's nothing wrong with those type of things. All I'm saying is, if you want to be a good Christian, you just got to do it, and 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 keep doing it. You wonder why you say, well, he's such a good Christian. It didn't just happen. He didn't just say, well, all right, after camp, I'm going home. I'm going to turn the Christian light switch on.
that way.
Why did Daniel prosper quickly? Number one, he lived a disciplined life. We talked about this last night. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. He lived a disciplined life. Young lady that was on the U.S. gymnastics team, she had done her every flip in her gymnastic routine at least 20,000 times. One lady had, for ice skating, she did over 250,000 laps. Swimmers train an average of 10 miles a day at speeds of 5 miles an hour in the pool. Now that might not sound very fast to us, but you try swimming 5 miles an hour. When they do that, their heart rate is at 160 beats per minute. They're pushing themselves. They're exerting every ounce of energy to swim. You say, don't push me, Brother Amos, to be a good Christian. That's why you'll never prosper. All we're doing is asking you to do what? What did I say a couple nights ago? What are we asking you to do? Just take a step. It's not that hard, is it? It's not that hard. But Daniel said, I'm going to live a disciplined life. Chapter 1, verse 8. You know this verse. How did he discipline himself? Verse 8 of chapter 1. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat nor with the wine which he drank. Now that sounds simple, but he just said, there's some things that my daddy taught me. Now I'm all alone. I have every opportunity to partake of these things. But my dad said no. My mom said no. These are some laws that I'm going to abide by. And when it was placed in front of it, I got a hunch it was probably some pretty good meat. This is the king's meat. But Daniel looked at it and said, uh-uh. There's some appealing things out there for you to take you from the separation that we talked about. They're out there. And I told you I'm not screaming and yelling, so just stay with me. I will start screaming and yelling if you need me to. But sometimes you just have to say no. You just have to say no. And it really is not that hard. If you want to prosper, you must live a disciplined life. He wouldn't eat certain things, but here's another one about discipline. He chose like-minded friends. Look at chapter 1, verses 17 through 21. As for these four children, this is speaking of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in verse 20 it tells us, he found them 10 times better than everybody else. You look and say, is this decision of not eating certain things really that important? Apparently it was for Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They stood before the king and it not only affected their diet, their physical side of things, it affected them mentally. I see a lot of people today, even Christians, on all sorts of medications. Oh, Brother Amos, I'm 13 and I'm just depressed. So I got to take whatever you take. You make wrong decisions, you're going to get depressed. Sorry, you're going to get, I see people miserable at an early age. Discipline your life to say no. And make sure you're around the right type of friends. Brother Greer here, stand here. Come up here for a second. And Adam, right? Come over here. I leave camp. I've got him on this side, carnal as a goat. I got this guy, and all of us went to camp, but we're in the same youth group. Okay? And he came forward a couple times, but he went back home and he goes right back into his routine. This guy made some of the same decisions this guy did. But I watch. Wow, man, he went back to his church and he's got a good relationship with his youth pastor. And I've seen a difference. Even as a young man, he's got a good relationship with his mom. He treats her right. He puts his arm around her. This guy doesn't want to sit close to his parents. And I start watching these things. Now, if I made right decisions, I've got a choice to make. If I drift this way, what's going to happen?
What, you want me to answer?
Go ahead.
You'll fall down, you'll get more carnal.
I'll fall down and I'll get more carnal. This guy's pretty deep. If I drift this way, let's see how smart this guy is. Yeah, he's already making excuses. Just try. What's going to happen?
You're going to have a good relationship with God and your family.
Yeah. You know why? It all depends on who I choose to hang around. This is real deep this morning. I'm wrapping it up. I know they're in different youth groups, but the illustration is they're in the same youth group. And I have to say, no. And yes. It's easy to preach standards when you're in churches that have standards. It's hard to preach standards when the church doesn't have standards, even if you have standards. You know why I've enjoyed myself this week? Because all the churches that are here, for the most part, we're all on the same page. Now, if we have some here that, you know, they love CCM and these here, you know, love worldly dress, it's going to be kind of awkward for me to preach certain things because, you with me? But when you get in the right crowd, it's easy to serve Jesus. You know why Peter denied the Lord? Because he was sitting amongst the unbelievers by the fire, and it was easy for him to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why he'd cuss? Because he was in the cussing crowd. You blankety blank, 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 blank. But if he would have been standing next to Jesus, do you think he would have been saying, blankety blank, 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 I don't know you, Jesus. It all depends on the crowd you hang with. This is deep. Deep. You know why Pastor Chris and I, we can chat. We can be hard on MySpace. Because I know he's not on MySpace. And I'm not either. I'm not on Facebook. Sorry. I think it's a waste of time. Sorry. I don't sit around watching movies all the time. You know why? It's a waste of time. It's not going to help me and my family. When we get down, we talk about friends, and we talk about teenagers, and we talk about how can we better our families, and on and on. And I get challenged. I get pushed not to run away from Jesus, but to get closer to Jesus. You want to prosper when you leave camp? Say no. Sorry, brother. Say, I'm associating myself with this crowd. You can take a seat, even though you can't talk. Take a seat. If you work at McDonald's, you don't wear a Burger King uniform. I mean, you might like the color coordination better. You might go and say, you know what, boss, I'll be right back, but I'm going to get my Burger King uniform on. You're not going to last very long at that restaurant because you haven't submitted to the rules of McDonald's. Even though they've hired you. You must associate with McDonald's and brag about how great their burgers are. You put yourself in that crowd. And I'm saying if you want to prosper, you must live a disciplined life. And Daniel did so. He said, I'm not going to eat certain things. I'm going to choose the right type of friends. Look at chapter 6, verse 5. This is my longest point, so And I only have one more point underneath discipline. Verse 5 of chapter 6, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Oh, that that were your testimony. I can't find any problems in these young ladies. They're way too modest. They're way too respectful. They're way too honorable to their authority. Man, they're way too right with God. That's what they were saying about Daniel. The only problem we can find in him is against the law of his God. He worships God too much. Wow. With no restrictions on his life, except the ones that he set up for himself. He lived a disciplined life. Verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew, and I want to emphasize that word, he knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And I want you to get the next 4 words. As he did aforetime. That's a big word. I don't walk around saying, well, aforetime I came to camp. What does that big word aforetime mean? Yes. Before! What it's saying is, all the way up to this petition was signed that if you pray to any other god, you're going to get killed. Daniel already had a disciplined life. He had a routine that when he knew the writing was signed, it didn't matter. He had structured and disciplined his life to saying, all right, Lord, I've done this before. I'm going to keep on doing it. And 3 times a day, he did what he always had done. That's discipline. Now, we have an undisciplined society today, don't we? Some of us have a hard time taking the television remote and just clicking it off. But I'm going to miss such and such. Click it off. We got too much stuff in our heads spinning. No time. Meditation is a completely lost art. Now, don't get me wrong. You watch me. I can't sit still very long. I don't like to sit for more than a half an hour. Because we got this to do, and this to do, and this to do, and this to do, and run here, and run here. A disciplined life says I've got to stop and spend time with Jesus. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. Daniel prospered because, number one, he had a disciplined life. Number two, quickly, he had a clean and pure testimony. Look at chapter 5, verse number 9. Belshazzar is having a feast, and he has the cups and so forth, holy vessels. And he's in there eating and drinking and partying with the vessels of God. And while he's there, what happens? You remember the handwriting on the wall? He's sitting there and he sees these words in the writing of a man's hand. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. And while he's there, the Bible says, he begins to tremble. He begins to fear and he calls in for all the wise men. Hey, come and tell me what this means. And of course, they can't. They're having problems. Look at verse number 9. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changing, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, it's his mother, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom. Notice he wasn't at the party. In whom is the spirit of the holy gods. Now this is his testimony. Listen to it. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Why? Verse number 12. Here's the key. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts, were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. I'd say, friends, that's a pretty good testimony. This is a heathen lady. She says, hey, anytime your father had problems, There was somebody he knew he could count on to take care of it. Why? He had an excellent spirit in him. That means he wasn't bitter, negative. He wasn't argumentative. He wasn't confrontational. He wasn't always causing problems in the home and in the youth group. Listen, I think your homes would be a better place if you said, I'm going to determine with God's help to have an excellent spirit in me. When mom says, Jonathan's a big guy, he's a senior, it's time for him to be a man. As Brother Dunbar, or Brother Burp was, I'm a man. That's the first kid. He wasn't on the floor, I think, this week. I was impressed. But it's time for him to man up. You know what? If you're still at home and mom says, hey, I need you to do this. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But not us. Man, we come back from Bible college. We come back from college. We're home for the... We sit around. We trash the place. And you don't understand, mom. I'm something now. I've finished a year of school. I'm out of high school. I'm something special now. No, you're not. 1 year changed you? You're different now? No. But Daniel had an excellent spirit. That's his testimony. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto him, and the king should have no damage. Verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. Why? Why? Because an excellent spirit was in him. That's his testimony. Verse 20. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. This is Darius unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God. That's his testimony. Is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lion? We know the story. I understand this. But he had a testimony that even though he was under King Darius, a mighty man, Darius knew that he served somebody else. That's his testimony. And he said, you serve him continually. I just want to know if he's able to deliver you out of the lion's den. My friends, can I remind you? There's a lion walking about. Right outside the exit of this camp. Seeking whom he may devour. See, that's your friend. He hates you. He despises you. What's your testimony? If I said Josh Witt, what are people going to think? If I said David, how do you say your last name? Maramba. I knew I'd mess it up if I tried it by myself. If I said Jared Dirks, what's your testimony? What do people think? You say, well, you told us not to worry about what people think. I know, I understand that. But do you have an excellent spirit in your home, in your church, in your youth group, amongst one another? Daniel did. That's why he prospered quickly and last. He lived a disciplined life. He had a clean and pure testimony. And thirdly, he gave credit to where credit was due. Chapter 5, verse 17. After Daniel did this interpretation of the handwriting on the wall, Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. See, he wasn't worried about gaining respect. He wasn't worried about rewards for himself. He wanted to direct all attention and glory to God. Verse number 18. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom. He emphasizes God. Verse number 21. Till he knew that the most high God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed it over whomsoever he will. Verse 23. But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. You see, he's focusing his attention. He's focusing the things that God has blessed him with, not on himself, but on him. My wife, I don't think she ended up getting to her lesson. But the whole point of her lesson was going to be, you have talent? There's nothing wrong with talent. If you're good at something, praise the Lord. Girls, if you're pretty, They're all shaking their heads. No. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being pretty. If you're good in whatever the case may be, whatever you're good at, don't take the glory for yourself. But when Saul was lifted up to a position, his whole life began to change. He lost all humility. He got violent. He started getting jealous. All because he was promoted to a position. Don't let talent ruin you, because it ruins so many. Daniel gave credit to where credit was due. I want so badly for you to keep those decisions fast. I really do. But you know what? I can't do it for you. I've got enough problems with the decisions I make and keeping those fast. But you got to protect your heart. You have to protect your mind. Look here. Look here. You've got to protect your heart. You've got to protect your mind. And you've got to discipline yourself to say no. Why is our military impressive? Discipline. Because when you enter the military ranks, some of you guys want to go in the military, they call you everything but your name. They change your life. And it all begins with what? Discipline. They don't say, what would you like to wear today? How would you like your hair cut? And I've never been in the military, but I'm sure those that have can give me all kinds of great stories about how they affected them. They got in their little heads. They owned them. And if I could say this as I close, let God own you. You know the people who were possessed with devils? They were completely controlled. Cutting themselves, running around with no clothes on. That's what the devil did. They were controlled. I'm saying, ask God. Say, God, possess me. So I talk like you. So I dress like you would want me to. On and on and on. I'm not going to go back into all the messages. But you getting the point? Do you want to succeed? Do you? Do you want to prosper as a Christian? Do you? You've got to discipline yourself. You've got to maintain a good Christian testimony. And you've got to not look and say, well, look at me, everybody. No, you say, God, I'm giving you all the glory. Give credit to where credit is due. I'm done. But I want you to know that when you leave here today, when I leave here today, just stop. Don't start shutting things down. Brother Ramos is going to try to pray for you. I won't pray for you. I can't remember all of you and all your needs. But I want you to know, somewhere in Northwest Indiana, there's a bushy-browed evangelist that's on your side that cares about you. And I've tried to be as open and honest and simple and helpful as I can be. I don't want you to make the mistakes I've made. That's why I'm honest with you, because I want you to know we're normal. I grew up thinking that preachers didn't have sins they thought. I've come to understand it's different. We have sins. You look and say, wow, they're this. No, we're just, guys, I put my pants on just like you did this morning. I might have put a right leg in, and you might have put your left leg in first, but I put my pants on just like you did. We're not anything special. Until we surrender to God, then God controls us. And then watch and see what God can do and how you'll prosper. Some of you have brothers and sisters that are a mess. It doesn't have to be you. That sat here in the same camp. It doesn't have to be you. Do you want to prosper? Better discipline yourself. Get with the right people today.